The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber, get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and yes, the 2023 College Football Betting Guide. Tomorrow's release of the College Football Guide and our previously released NFL Betting Guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year, college and pro. The only way to get the guides, though, and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you could do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I do have a couple tennis picks today. Remember yesterday we were like, hey, what are the two remaining tennis picks? And I was like, I don't know. I'm looking at the schedule. One looks delayed. I don't know if the other one got. Yeah, they both hit. VSiN.com/picks for all of our picks, hosts, guests throughout the day here at the network. I do have two picks today. Neither have started. It's that funny time of year where there's some mostly hard court tournaments on the run-up to the U.S. Open. There are some straight clay court tournaments as well. But I have two today, and they're both dogs. Both dogs. Going with Liam Brody, Kelly. What do you know about Liam Brody? Anything? Nothing? Nothing at all? Yeah, about Liam Brody?
I think he goes by Liam.
Maybe he does. I don't know. Liam Brody's going up against Talent Greek Sport. Talent Greek Sport has had a great, great year, great summer by any stretch. But Brody's numbers here are such that plus 140 should not be the case. And Zhizhen Zhang, Zhang Zhizhen is actually how you say it, who we won on yesterday very easily, easy peasy match. I think he was playing DeGere yesterday. He is taking on Dominic Thiem, former Grand Slam champ, or, you know, always a Grand Slam champ once you win one. But Grand Slam champ Dominic Thiem. Thiem is just very choppy these days, and Zhang is just great and under the radar here. So plus 132, those are the two plays in tennis. Liam Brody plus 140, Zhizhen Zhang, or Zhang Zhizhen plus 132.
I'm just glad to see Jordan's back out of retirement, okay? You retired for like a whole 3 minutes yesterday.
Jordan?
Yeah, you. Come on, man. You retired like for 3 minutes yesterday.
Yes, I did, and then all the wins came through.
Yeah. Then all the wins came through.
It's a gambling moment.
That is such an inside gambler's mindset.
Ah, this is terrible. Oh, they won? Okay, great. ladies and gentlemen, it is our college football guide, as I just talked about in our promo moments ago. It comes out tomorrow. Zach Cohen, among those who have contributed so much to it. VSiN's own, he joins us now to talk SEC and ACC. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing very well. I said we're here to talk SEC and ACC, and we will, because we got one segment to get through it all. But real quick, because I was talking about the grid that is at the beginning of the college football guide yesterday, and I just wanted to, you know, I was peeking before this segment. I was like, what did Zach end up playing? Would you like to share one of your four college football playoff teams that was a little off the radar that has nothing to do with either the SEC or the ACC?
Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. Was it not Florida State? Is that not the one that you thought?
Well, that wasn't the one that I was. I mean, because Florida State, I actually have two. You and me were the only ones.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go. Kelly's alma
mater. Zach, you're welcome back anytime.
The one that I was actually thinking about was the other sort of outlier from the Pac-12.
Oh, was that was Utah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I have Utah as a plus 600 play to win the Pac-12, and I have them at plus 900 to make the college football playoff. That's really going to be something that we're going to see decided really early in the season, because Cam Rising is coming off a torn ACL. But I do think that as far as quarterbacks go, he's the type of guy, you know, you might not think of him as the best quarterback in college football, but he'll outplay anyone in a specific game. I really like his game, like, you know, the gamer attitude in him. And I think that Utah is a better coach team than anybody in the country. And they return, I believe, 16 starters. So they do have a really tough schedule. But I think that team is really good. They're really nasty in the trenches. I think they're going to do some really big things this year.
All right, since you bring up Florida State, let's start with the ACC then before we get to the SEC. Florida State, obviously, a team that you are backing. Why are we not 1 year too early for Florida State? Obviously, Florida State, glory years in the past under Bobby Bowden and Jimbo Fisher, not so much of late. And now the return to glory. So everybody who went to FSU as an FSU fan feels this. Clemson has obviously ruled the roost in the interim. Why is this the year? These two teams, of course, take on each other September 23rd at Death Valley, and that game will have will go a long way. Although I guess, Zach, they could, you know, Florida State could still lose that game, and these two teams could meet in the ACC championship now.
Yeah, that's exactly what could happen. But I just think that, yeah, they might be a year away. I don't know. I think that this year they're going to be a real contender. I think that they have so much position at the wide, you know, so much skill at the wide receiver position. Johnny Wilson, a 6'7" wide out who can make big plays. Keon Coleman, a Michigan State transfer, who I think is an absolute star. It's a really loaded group for Jordan Travis, who's my pick to win the Heisman. And he's also going to be working behind a really improved offensive line. That's kind of been their Achilles heel for the last few seasons. And then on top of that, they just have some, you know, dudes all over the defense. Jared Verse might be top 10 NFL draft pick next year. And they brought over, you know, one of the top corners in the country in Fentrell Cyprus.
Florida State, I'm just looking at their schedule. So there's the LSU game on the neutral field in Orlando, September 3rd. I mean, that's, we always talk about this with college football. I mean, we could say this about the NFL too, but college football, so much of this comes down to these fulcrum games. Like, it could just be a totally different narrative after the very first game, right? That's a huge showdown with LSU. Then I mentioned the September 23rd game at Clemson. And then I guess I should mention October 28th is at Wake Forest, because for whatever reason, Florida State always has trouble with the Demon Deacons. I haven't beaten them since 2018 anyway. I haven't won in Winston-Salem since 2017. Seven in a row for Clemson over FSU. But you believe this is where these things, by and large, come to an end?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that game is almost like a playoff game in a way. But yeah. I took the under on LSU's team total, and then I have the over on Florida State. So that really is okay. Where I decided it. I said that game is going to go that way, and that's going to change both those team seasons. But I do think Florida State gets the job done against LSU, and I do think they'll beat Wake Forest. I think that Wake is going to be a much different team with Mitch Griffiths at quarterback. Sam Hartman was so good. I think it's really going to hurt that team seeing him on the way out.
Yeah. Okay. So, and no other team, we'll move to the SEC, but no other team in the ACC scares you, namely UNC with Drake May, doesn't scare you off?
No, I'm not really high on UNC. I still think that defense is a bit of a disaster.
Okay. SEC, I guess the theme is, and you know, I was talking yesterday about this grid, Georgia, you know, is a consensus pick more than any to get to the college football playoff, and then a lot of people have them advancing to the national championship. Not so many winning it all, but obviously people just want to do had different thoughts once you get to that one game. In our betting guide, people can buy it again at VSiN.com/subscribe. I guess your thoughts on Georgia, obviously, but have we already pronounced Alabama dead consensus-wise? Like, it feels like, just because one thing is true, it feels like the brain goes to, well, the other thing must happen. Georgia is good, Alabama is not as good anymore. Are we exaggerating that?
No, I mentioned that in the guide, where it just feels like we're writing off Alabama and it feels like it's a little too soon. I do think that their quarterback situation with the Tide is a little bit murky. I don't know if I'm that high on Milroe or Simpson, but I do have both as Heisman values, just because Alabama's passing offense has been great the last few years. So I think that whoever gets that job is a really good value at 60-1. But yeah, I don't think Alabama's dead at all. I think that we're going to see them back in the college football playoff very soon. It could even be this year if that quarterback play is a little bit better. With Georgia, I mean, I'm not as high on them as others. I do think they'll make the playoff because I think that they have, you know, a little bit of an easy schedule for an SEC team. And I'm also not that worried about Stetson Bennett not being there anymore, because, you know, for all the talk of Georgia not having a quarterback, we didn't like Bennett last year and we didn't like him the year before. So why, you know, pick him up now after we kind of, you know, dumped on him for 2 years?
LSU, you mentioned you're under on them.
LSU, I'm under. That's mostly because of the schedule. Like you said, they have that game against Florida State. Then they have a few others that I could easily see them losing. I think that Auburn is going to give a lot of these top schools trouble this year. I just kind of see the SEC beating up on itself this season.
Yeah. LSU could be favored in every game but the road trip to Alabama as you scan this. But obviously, with all these teams, their schedule is stacked. And nothing for Tennessee. You're not spooked by Tennessee at all in Joe Milton?
Tennessee was another thing where it's, you know, I just think that the total was a little too high. It's a great program going in the right direction. But yeah, like you said, Milton, I'm not nearly as high on him as I was on Hooker. Hooker was so good last season that he was, you know, a third round pick as a 25-year-old with a torn ACL. People are forgetting that. And Milton really hasn't proven much of anything. So I think that Tennessee, probably 8 or 9 win team.
Though there's nothing like seeing Joe Milton drop back and just hurling the football as long as he finds. It's an unbelievable sight to behold. You're like, that ball is still going. So the best bets then, ACC and SEC, just to review, are?
In the ACC, actually, I didn't even get to it, but I really like Miami over 7.5. which is, you know, a team that I usually like to fade. I don't really like these teams that are, you know, coming into the season with a ton of hype, but there's no hype surrounding Miami this year, and I think that there should be. They hired two really good offensive, you know, really good coordinators on both sides of the ball. They have a lot of returning talent, a lot of, you know, skill at the important positions. So I think they're a team that I can see winning 8 games. And yeah, I think that, you know, Florida State over, UNC under, SEC. I kind of like Missouri to go over. And then another one I liked over was Ole Miss.
Okay. And if you can find an FSU to get to the Final Four, which those props do exist out there, you would take a flyer on that as well.
Definitely, and I like them to win the ACC, too.
And like them to win the ACC, obviously, in that mix as well. Zach, a pleasure. Great work, as always, with everything guide-wise and beyond at VSiN.com. Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Zach Cohen, everybody, on the show. Always a pleasure. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. How about that? New Twitter handle. We'll come back and talk some more football next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM, live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Tip of the strip, it's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Kelly, would you like to define what so much more means than a producer? Would you like to tell the people, tell the good people?
Studio, what did I say last week?
Studio bouncer.
Advocate for koala bear safe sex.
That's right. By the way, someone sent a photo of someone on the Fox.
That Felica fella's lying. He's been lying through his teeth.
Someone
this
on
whole
the
time.
Fox set was holding a koala, and Felica goes, "We were insured. We were told that this koala did not have chlamydia."
That was fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who said that yesterday. That was great.
It's a throwback, by the way, 82 game. It was Bullets and Celtics now in overtime. Just want to point that out. It's very exciting. Still to come this hour, Sia Najad will join us to talk NFL and PGA. It's the Wyndham Championship. Kelly has stuff to say about that. And Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We will talk some baseball with him as well. Mike Pritchard joins us, as he always does on Wednesdays at this time. He's VSiN's own. You can follow him on Twitter at MIPritchard. He played the game. What was that Howard Cosell used to say? I never played the game. Well, Mike Pritchard did play the game, and he's here to join us to talk not NFL with us, but Colorado football, his alma mater. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing very well. College Football awesome. Guide is out Thursday, so we wanted to we noticed the Colorado jersey, of course, is always behind you. You were a national champion there. I want to ask you a couple things before we get to actually on the field with Colorado and then bets. This has nothing to do with betting, but I'd feel awkward if I didn't even mention. Do you have any feeling about Colorado going back to the Big 12 next year? Any at all?
It's probably where we belong. You know, I think we were out of character, out of our comfort zone going to the Pac-12, to be honest with you. I mean, our roots are the Big 8, right? Our roots and rivalries or whatever and history aligns with OU, Nebraska, OSU, you know, Kansas, the middle of the country, pretty much, and Texas. I think we had some success recruiting in the Pac-12 and inside LA, of course. And out west, you know, whether it's, you know, Vegas or LA or something like that. But, you know, I think our comfort zone is the Big 12 and our roots are there. So to be honest with you, I think there's a chance to renew rivalries too. You think about the landscape of college football and what's happening. You know, we could cross over to the SEC now and play some of those teams, right? Yeah. Regionally, from a scheduling standpoint, we could cross over and play some of those Big Ten teams regionally and then certainly from a scheduling standpoint. So out in the Pac-12, didn't really realistic chances of that happening because of TV rights and certainly non-con situations. So now in the Big 12, I think we have those possibilities again.
Big 12 just trying to stay alive at this point. Yeah. As is the Pac-12 with the – it's a Pac-9 at this point, it feels like.
Right.
One more thing. Obviously, the big stuff with Deion Sanders, your former teammate in Atlanta. The news, obviously, this summer, generally, I'll just summarize it in a paragraph, which is, you know, not even a paragraph, a question, which is, which side do you fall on? Do you fall on the Deion was straightforward with those kids at Colorado? He said, look, we're going to be good. Most of y'all aren't going to be here. And you believe that to be the proper tough love that was required? Or do you fall on the side of, there was probably a better way to do that? These are kids after all.
No, I like the tough love. I mean, I be abrupt with it. Plus, you got the rules in your favor as a first-year head coach at a new school, and you can turn over a roster. The rules allow you to do what Deion did. So I think a lot of schools have done that. A lot of schools understanding the transfer portal and how you can get good in a hurry. You have to put kids to a test. You really do. I mean, the days of that scholarship, securing your school for 4 years. I mean, the business of college football doesn't dictate that, doesn't allow for that to happen anymore. You know, coaches can run off kids nowadays, you know, before they were locked in on a 4 or 5 year scholarship. And I think now with NIL collectibles and all this, like I mentioned, the business of college football, and if the rules allow you to do that, and if you can upgrade your roster, then coaches are going to do that in that first year. So I think Kelly down in the SEC with LSU, and you know, you look at some other prominent coaches that are trying to do that as they establish themselves in new locations.
All right. Well, Deion Sanders does bring in. Coach Prime brings in Sean Lewis from Kent State to run the offense. He brings in Charles Kelly, former defensive coordinator at Alabama, to run the defense. So it's going to be a fast-paced offense, as Kent State always has, and now it's going to be Deion's son, Shedeur Sanders, running that. The season win total, Mike, is 3.5, and the over is the under is juiced, I should say, on the 3.5. How do you believe this goes in year one?
Well, I respect odds makers. I really do. But, that's kind of ridiculous to me. I think they'll go over. You know, there's so much to be said about the hard part of college football. Like you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, you know, playing for the national championship, winning for a national championship. We went back to back for a national championship, played Notre Dame, who you think about that school at the time and how loaded they were, right? With Ricky Waters, Jerome Bettis, and all these guys in the backfield, Rocket. And you know, college football is back to that. I think from the transfer portal standpoint, and talent standpoint, it's starting to spread out again, right? And that's why, if you follow college football the way I do, it's like the reasons why they wanted to expand the college football playoff or ready for it is because truly we're getting to a point where it's going to get too crowded at certain schools, and this talent pool was going to spread out. I think Colorado is involved in that. I think what Coach Prime has done is attract some high-level players. And coaches will tell you in college football, the hardest part is recruiting these type of players. The easy part is coaching these type of players. Mm-hmm. And I think the program, yeah, there's no consistency. Yeah, the last decade has been abysmal. But yet, talking to, you know, Michael Westbrook and some other prominent players that played at CU, it feels like Colorado has that type of athlete again, being up close and personal with these guys. So I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic for a bowl game. I know Coach Prime is optimistic, and certainly he's going to coach, and his coaches are going to coach as if they're going to go to a bowl game. High expectations, we get it.
Wow.
You put the bullseye on yourselves with the attention, but yet Coach Prime and his staff welcomes that. And I think the players that he has there at Colorado and Boulder welcome that as well.
Mike, if they go to a bowl game, it is a resounding success. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm looking for four wins. You know how you do the whole thing with the schedule.
Right.
I don't really see them, quite frankly. I mean, I'm Stanford at home, Arizona at home. Let's say we give those wins. September 9th is Nebraska. I mean, that's a huge sort of tone-setting game. Nebraska under Matt Rhule, they're not supposed to be very good. And then, of course, it's Colorado State the next week. What if they – let me just give you the bad – let me just ask you about the bad scenario. What if they lose to Nebraska and then, God forbid, they lose to Colorado State? I mean, how much does it spiral at that point, though?
Well, yeah, I mean, anything can spiral, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if that happens, then obviously the naysayers will come out the woodwork. They'll come out from behind a woodshed, right? They might be out in front of it right now, but no, I think you can't be afraid to put it out there, though. You know, my experience at Colorado with Coach Mack and Coach Mack, you know, coming out and really being brazen about, look, Nebraska's all rival, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that kind of damage in the Big Ten or Big Eight, excuse me, and go to a national championship. I mean, you do that when you have the players to back it up, you know, and Coach Mack started recruiting those type of players. And I think you gain confidence that way. And what Coach Prime is talking to us about and telling everybody out there is that he truly believes he has those type of players, that type of quarterback. And whether or not everybody else believes that remains to be seen. To your point, if Colorado does stumble and if they do lose those back-to-back rivalry games, then everybody's going to pile on. And I think everybody knows that in Boulder. So it's up to them to prevent that from happening. And I'm betting that they do prevent that from happening with the over win total situation as well.
There it is. Very definitive. Over 3.5 from Mike Pritchard. Let me just ask you this in closing. So DraftKings, and I want to shout out Frank Doyle because Frank Doyle made us aware of this on Twitter. They have a lot of creative props, both NFL and college football. And then they have cross sport ones between the NFL and college football, namely regular season wins matchups, for instance, between New Orleans, the New Orleans Saints and LSU, the Tennessee Titans and the Tennessee Vols. Well, one of them, and this is not quite as regionally concise as the ones I just mentioned, but one of them is the Arizona Cardinals versus the Colorado Buffaloes. So Arizona's win total is 4.5, if I'm not mistaken, in the NFL. The Buffaloes are 3.5. In college football, Arizona is heavily juiced. They're -210. Colorado +170 on the comeback. Would you take your Buffaloes at +170? Would you bet that?
Yeah. Oh man, that's an interesting one. I'm optimistic. I really am, right? You know, but you go so far with your money. I like the win total over. I do, Gil. You know, to cross reference those two, that bet right there is interesting to me. I mean, Arizona is a train wreck.
Yes,
they
gotta
really
go
are.
Colorado.
I was going to say, Pritch, you got to take the +170 after what you just
I'll
said.
I'll take it. I'll take it. But yeah, Arizona is a train wreck, though. I mean, that inside that building, inside that organization, is down the toilet, really. To be honest with you guys, and. CU is not that at all. So, yeah, I like that bet with Colorado.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. National champion at Colorado. Speaking
Let's just go
of the
back,
Buffalo.
Pritch. 70 degrees there right now. Let's just go find jobs. Prime will love me, I'm sure.
Yes, he will. Absolutely. He'll have you suited up. He'll have you suited up. Coach Prime gear.
I would love to see Prime screaming at you and see what you say back. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, as always.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. He likes the over. I'm just looking at this schedule, Kelly. You think people are rooting against Prime? You think that is a massive sentiment for some? We'll come back. See you, Najat, on the NFL and golf next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Check out all the subscription offers at VSiN.com/subscribe. In case you were wondering, Kellyanne, I know you were.
Yeah.
Bullets are up 2 late in overtime here at the Garden.
How things looking?
It's a tie-up at center court. That's going to be Frankie Johnson jumping against Larry Bird.
How many points are they catching?
Oh, I have no idea.
12.5?
Nine. Oh, Bullets are going to win this against the spread for sure, unless it goes into double overtime and they get rolled, which I don't think happens. Bird wins the tap. Celtics, 2 to tie, 3 to win. Tiny Archibald yo-yos the dribble to the rack. No good, but McHale with a follow-up. So there's 1 second left in overtime. Oh, my God, is this exciting.
Primetime action days, but like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
A game
like,
40-plus years ago.
Such a game from 40 years ago.
Man.
Hey, Gil, if you went to that Pro Picks page for the month of July and you were like, who's done the best here?
Oh, yes.
Number 3, you'd see Kelly Bidlin.
See
a record of 13-37 because of golf betting. And then you go to number 2, and you'd see a man named Sia Najat. And yes. I don't know what his record was, but he's above me because he made him more money. Because he's a first-round leader machine.
Who's number 1?
I don't remember.
Oh.
I think it was Jeff Seeley. It's all the golf bettors. Because whenever we hit an outright of any kind, we jump to the top.
Well, you know, it's funny. We happen to have Sia Najat right here,
now. No way!
Yeah, no, we do. I appreciate that. Sia Najad, NFL and PGA analyst for Sportsline, co-host of the First Cut podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad. That's S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. And, of course, over his right shoulder, one of the all-time very goods, Santana Moss, to the sky for Sean Taylor. How you doing, Sia?
Thanks for acknowledging Sean and Santana. And I got to say, we're Timmy Smith days away from NFL kickoff, so that's pretty cool.
That means 36, Kelly, for those of us who have instant jersey recall. 36 days away. Of course, only one day away from the Hall of Fame game. Do you bet preseason football at all?
It depends. I haven't actually looked at the Hall of Fame game too much. Sometimes there's an, probably not with the Hall of Fame game, but sometimes there is an edge because, you know, whether it's a first half line or a full game line, because you kind of know how many series certain players are playing, even if it's the second group. You know, sometimes if you know they're playing a certain number of series, especially at the quarterback position, you can definitely get an edge there, especially with the first half bet.
Okay, before we dive into your Wyndham Championship golf bets, you have made not one, not two, not three, but four division bets in the NFL. What are they?
Yeah, I stuck with the NFC here. I mean, I like some AFC division bets as well, but I mean, I'm going to go with, first of all, let's talk about the NFC East. I'm not going with the Commanders, of course, but I do like the Eagles. I mean, I do think it's a two-horse race, as good as the Giants were last year. I'm going to go with the Eagles minus 115. I think that's a pretty good number. The Lions at plus 145 in the North. I mean, I kind of like the Vikings, but that number, if it was at plus 300 or plus 310, I would like the Vikings a lot more. It's down to like plus 260 in most places. So I'll go ahead and take the Lions at plus 145 there. And then the Saints at plus 130, like them, like what they have at the quarterback position relative to the other teams. Defense for the Saints kind of fallen off a little bit, but they tried to regroup in the draft. So I'm going to go with the Saints there. And then speaking of two teams, like I think the NFC East is, the 49ers minus 160 is a hefty price, but I do think it's a heads up matchup. Speaking of golf, I think it's a heads up matchup between the Niners and the Seahawks. And I don't think I'm breaking any news there. I'll take the Niners at minus 160.
No, not breaking news, but I hear you. You also have a total play that is a direct shot clearly at Kelly Bidlin's conviction on the Jaguars.
Bring it, Sia.
Well, you know, that's funny. Yeah. So and listen, everybody's on Kelly's side of it. Cause I'm getting plus 120 on the Jags under 9.5 wins. You know, I just wonder, first of all, they were super competitive in the playoffs against the Chiefs where they lost. And of course they came back against the Chargers, but you know, the stretch of wins they had at the end of the season, I thought it was just a little bit of smoke and mirrors against a lot of bad teams. I still think the Jaguars are good. I just think they're more 9 wins good and not 10 wins good. And for the record, I'm still not sure about Trevor Lawrence. I'm certainly not sure about the offensive line and when Trevor Lawrence is under pressure. And for the record, you mentioned Warren Sharp earlier in the show. I heard that their defense, while it looks good, if you just look at their defense and you look how they did last year, it looks good. But they had the third easiest schedule against opposing offenses. So there's something to be said there. It's going to be a tougher schedule against offenses specifically. I think we're going to see that defense wilt here and there a little bit more.
All right. And one last NFL play. You described this as your sneaky, sneaky play here to win the AFC. And it is?
It's super sneaky and it's a long shot. But I think the Cleveland Browns are pretty good on defense. I think they're an average defense. But on offense, let's not forget, we haven't seen like the Deshaun Watson that we saw a few years ago. He's got some more games under his belt. I think Deshaun Watson, you add Elijah Moore, you got Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in the league. And of course, Amari Cooper, David Njoku, even their backup receivers, DPJ, they're all pretty good. Offensive line's okay. I just think the Cleveland Browns can make some noise. I think they're going to make the playoffs. And if they make the playoffs and Deshaun Watson is the Deshaun Watson of 3 or 4 years ago, they've got a shot.
Okay. To golf, the Wyndham Championship, Greensboro, North Carolina, for the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield Country Club. First of all, before you get into that, have you been hitting first round leaders still? Like, are you still like hitting those left and right as you have been historically?
Yeah, a lot. I didn't hit it last week. I think a couple weeks ago I had it. So a lot of them have been ties for first, where I've had one of the guys tied for first. I think Xander and I can't remember. I had two over the last like 5 or so weeks, but because there were like 4 at the top, it wasn't a huge payout. I think the last one ended up being cut to 13-1. The one before that, like 10-1. But yeah, I'm still hitting them. Not necessarily at the same rate, but still at a pretty solid rate.
I love when Sia comes on air. It's like, I don't want to be known as the first round leader guy. It's like, I don't want to be known as this awesome guy who hits these ridiculous.
But I hear him.
I hear you.
We handicap it for the entire tournament. Yet if it was not for the first round leader market, my golf betting the past 2 seasons would be in the negative. So
really?
I don't know if he's the same. If you're the same way, but they've been great for me too.
Okay, well, we'll work our way up to first round leaders. What are your outrights here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alex Smalley, which this number's really been chopped down. Alex Smalley is a member at Sedgefield. The two times he's played here, he's had a 13th and a 29th. 35-1, it's not the best number. You could have gotten it at like 60 or 50 a few days ago, but it is what it is. I do think he has a chance to win in this field. Aaron Rye at 40-1, I really like him. He's going to keep it in the fairway, which is important here. Relatively dialed in on approach and with the putter. So I think that's a pretty good number on a guy that could sort of splash onto the scene. Steven Yeager, another guy, if you look at his metrics, he's 45-1. His metrics scream to me that he's about to win a tournament. He's turned the putter around, which is really important for him because that was a really weak part of his game. Over the last five tournaments, I think he's been a positive putter in all five, and his ball striking, approach play, all of it is amazing. So Yeager, another guy that can splash onto the scene. A couple of long shots here. Thomas Dietrich at 60-1, not a very accurate hitter, which should be a mark against him, and it is, except for the fact that I think he's going to club down and keep it in the fairway. If you look at his approach and putting numbers, they're really, really good. So if he keeps it in the fairway, Dietrich can surprise some people at 60-1. And then finally, Adam Schenk, who, for the record, over his last seven tournaments, four of them, he's been inside the top seven, seventh or better in the last four. The other three were missed cuts. So he's a little boom or bust here. And the bust part really comes into play when you look at his record at Sedgefield. Really bad track record at Sedgefield. Really bad course history. But I've been sort of buffing against course history this entire season, and it hasn't really worked against me. So I'm going to take Adam Schenk, even though he has bad history here, at 80-1.
Working against course history of late. Interesting. And as for those first round leader props, some overlap here, some not.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit overlap. I got Sam Burns at 40-1. I mean, I think he's a guy that can actually win the tournament, but we know he can get hot with the putter and on approach and in a first round. So I like him 40-1. Yeager, I mentioned 55, Smalley 55, and then three long shots at all at 80-1. Nikolai Højgaard, he's kind of like a poor man's Thomas Dietrich in terms of like clubbing down and being able to hit it on approach and with the putter. Doug Gim, Adam Schenk again.
Okay, and Adam Schenk also in a matchup.
Yeah, Adam Schenk over Justin Suh. Justin Suh is one of those guys that he does it with the putter. That's really going to help him here. The problem is getting to the greens. Justin Suh's been really bad with the ball striking. Schenk, on the other hand, he's been really good with the ball striking, and he's actually pretty good with the putter too, just behind Justin Suh in terms of the metrics over the last 24 rounds. So really like that one. I like Ben Griffin over Brandon Wu. Griffin appears to have found something, particularly with the ball striking, particularly with the approach game. Brandon Wu's just been too inconsistent. So I'll take Griffin minus 110 there. And then Brendan Todd minus 120 over Gary Woodland. This is a great course for Brendan Todd, and Gary Woodland is so bad with the putter. I see no turnaround in sight. So while Woodland's ball striking is good, the putter's going to let him down. Todd, this is a perfect course fit. So I think the ball striking will be fine for him. Putter will be better than Woodland. Give me Todd minus 120 over Gary.
All right. And then bonus top 40, Lucas Glover, Adam Schenk, and as well, Doug Gim, all at plus 100. Alex Smalley at top 30 at plus 110 as well. Real quick, 30 seconds. Sean Payton with the comments, the incendiary comments about Nathaniel Hackett. We never see that happen. Where did you stand on that in the end?
Well, my thought was, if Sean Payton said it, it's probably true. And Sean Payton probably regrets saying it in the way that he did. So, I mean, listen, we could look at the Broncos last year and probably think, you know, to yourself, all right, yeah, it probably was kind of a mess. It wasn't a good job. With all of that said, you don't say that in that fraternity. So, like, I don't have a really big problem with him saying it, but I bet if he had a second shot at it, he wouldn't have said it in those terms.
Yeah, and a lot of people who are defending it would say the exact opposite if it were a coach that they didn't like who said it, right? Like, so it's there's a bunch of that out there as well. Thank you, C. Always great to see you, man.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
See you, Najat, everybody. Kelly's got some Wyndham Championship thoughts later on the show. Jason Weingarten. In the interim, though, joins us from under a cloud of smoke. Talk a little Major League Baseball with him next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.